ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 3 ऋषभदेव's appearance in the womb of Meru Devi, the wife of King Nabhi, text number 15. Yadu ha vava tava punar adabra karatar iha samahutas tatrartha dhyam mandanam nas tad yad deva helanam deva devarasi samyena sarvan pratibodham avidusham idusham yadhu havav tav punar adabra kartariha samahutas tatrartha dhyam mandanam nastad yad deva helanam deva devarasi samyena sarvan pratibodham avidusham. Repeat. Mataji? Word to word meaning, yat, because, uha vava, indeed, tava, your, punaha, again, adabhra kartaha, O Lord who performs many activities, iha, here, in this arena of sacrifice, samahuta, invited, tatra, therefore, arthadhyam, who aspire to fulfill material desires, mandanam, not very intelligent, naha, of us, tat, that, yat, which, deva helanam, disrespect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Deva Deva, Lord of the Lords, Arhasi, please, Samyena, because of your equipoised position, Sarvan, everything, Prativodhum, tolerate, Avidusham, of us who are all ignorant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Lord, you perform many wonderful activities. Our only aim was to acquire a son by performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, we have certainly committed a grave offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, please excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. Please repeat. No. O Lord, you perform many wonderful activities. Our only aim was to acquire a son by performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, we have certainly committed a great offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, please excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. Purport. The priests were certainly unhappy to have called the Supreme Lord from Vaikuntha for such an insignificant reason. A pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily. The Lord is engaged in various activities, and the pure devotee does not want to see him whimsically for his own sense gratification. The pure devotee simply depends on the Lord's mercy. When the Lord is pleased, he can see him face to face. The Lord is unseen even by the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. By calling on the Supreme Lord, the priests of Nabi Maharaj proved themselves unintelligent. Nonetheless, the Lord came out of his causeless mercy. All of them therefore wanted to be excused by the Lord. Worship of the Supreme Lord for material gain is not approved by authorities. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7:16, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna artho jagyasur artharti jnani cha bharat shvaha. O best among the Bharatas, Arjun, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for the knowledge of the Absolute. Initiation into bhakti begins when one is in a distressed condition or in want of money, or when one is inquisitive to understand the Absolute Truth. Nonetheless, people who approach the Supreme Lord in this way are not actually devotees. They are accepted as pious sukritina due to their inquiring about the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing the various activities and engagements of the Lord, such people unnecessarily disturb the Lord for material gain. However, the Lord is so kind that even though disturbed, he fulfills the desires of such beggars. The pure devotee is anya abhilashita shunya. He has no motive behind his worship. He is not conducted by the influence of Maya in the form of karma or jnana. The pure devotee is always prepared to execute the order of the Lord without personal consideration. The Ritvija, the priest of the sacrifice, knew very well the distinction between karma and bhakti, and because they considered themselves under the influence of karma, fruitive activity, they begged the Lord's pardon. They knew that the Lord had been invited to come for some paltry reason. Om Ajnanam Timandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nitayine Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashachade Shatarane. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurav Bhaktamanda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, once again, the sacrifice was being done for King Nabi to have a son, and sacrifice was successful. And to surprise of all the priests and King Nabi, Lord Vishnu appeared in the arena. personally. Journaling sacrifices, you know, we see in Ramayana when King Dashrath did the sacrifice to get a son. The demigod appeared and gave them the pot of rice. And here, Lord Vishnu personally appeared, and so the priest were really surprised. And not only surprised, but were a little bit ashamed that they really didn't expect Lord Vishnu to appear. And, you know, when there's something small and we ask for help and someone unexpectedly, you know, bigger, he appears in, or she appears in, then we feel that we wasted their time. Just imagine, you know, I'm hungry and I want to have, you know, prasadam, and all of a sudden, you know, the guru appeared with a plate. Here it is. And he will say, Maharaj, why did you disturb me? You know, I'm sorry I disturbed you. So same thing sort of here, that the priests were unhappy, Prabhupada writes. They called the Supreme Lord from Vaikuntha. It's not calling them from Brussels or Antwerp, from Vaikuntha, just think. And Lord Vishnu appeared. So Prabhupada in his purport, he's making some very nice points. And he's saying is, this shows the caliber of the priest, that they were not pure devotees. A pure devotee never, Prabhupada writes, pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily. Krishna is very busy. The Lord is engaged in various activities. And the pure devotee does not want to see him whimsically for his own sense gratification. The pure devotee knows that Krishna knows what's in his heart, what is needed, and he will provide if he likes to. But none of us, at least I am, you know, we're not in that category. And we're in the category of Prabhupada, then therefore is referring to Bhagavad Gita 7:16, which is Chaturvidha Bhajante Imam Janasakritino Arjuna Artho Gyasurarthi Jnani Che Bhajashava. That four kind of pious people approach the Lord. And if you go back into our own process of being a devotee, most of us were somewhere in that stage. We were either disturbed and wanted some relief from the material conditions, sickness, you know, or for economic reasons, being out of a job. In India, I'm sure you probably watched it, I don't know, but at the time of exams, all the churches and temples are full, right? And at least with the Hindus, most of them go to Hanumanji's mandir, Lord Hanuman's mandir, temple. Please, you know, if I pass, you know, I'm going to offer you 1 kilogram of sweets, something like that. So that's a distress condition, right? And they go for that. Most hospitals in India and the U.S. I've seen, I'm sure here too, they have chapels, right? And people go and worship. You know, please, you know, make so-and-so better, so and so forth. The next category is people who are inquisitive. And in some ways, I think, most of the Western devotees, the first time you came to a Hare Krishna temple or you got a book, was inquisitive. Was this person giving out? You know, a shaved head, wearing a, you know, sheet. And but he looks very effulgent. I mean, he looks very happy, smiling. I'm curious, what is he so happy about? And then, so that's the inquisitive. And then the last category is someone who's in knowledge. That I'm going to the temple because it is the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's my duty to serve him, to know more about him. So he's in knowledge. He's not going there because, you know, Sankirtan devotees invited him. You know, come to the temple. It's some nice prasadam. He went, or she went for the knowledge. And so Prabhupada writes that in the purport to 7.16 that our bhakti is initiated, begins when we are distressed and we want some money or we're inquisitive, and then we approach the Supreme Lord. That's when it begins. Okay? We're not actually devotees at that time, we're just starting on the path. And Krishna accepts that. Krishna's happy. In fact, in the same chapter, Krishna talks about afterwards that he says, you know, the one who goes to the demigods has less intelligence. So on one hand, we're not supposed to go to Krishna for any of the material reasons. But on the other hand, if we have to, it is still better to go to Krishna than to a demigod. Because when we go to the demigods, the results are temporary. And there's a give and take, and the demigods are not really concerned about our welfare. They're just following the rules. You work so many hours, you worked for 10, 20 years, now your pension is due, period, right? They just look at the rules, right? Krishna is even more kind. He doesn't care if we have worked or not worked. He says, no, he's come here and I should help him. Okay? Even though he's unnecessarily disturbed, even though that, you know, we've woken up from his sleep or whatever he's doing. But, Prabhupada writes, he fulfills the desires of such beggars. So that's, isn't that the truth? That if somebody's begging, we should offer him something. You know, we should generally offer prasad, so on and so forth. And so Krishna realizes that, and then he fulfills that. However, on the other hand, the pure devotee has no desire except to serve the Lord. Okay, so we got the four types of sort of karmi, and Prabhupada talks about these are karma mishra bhaktas, the mixing devotional service with karma or with jnana. So karma or jnana. They're not pure devotees yet. Okay. Of those four, the first three are mixed with karma, and the fourth one with jnana. Actually, there's a fifth category, and that is, this is the ones who come to Krishna without any motive, and Prabhupada talks about, for example, the gopis. They didn't go to Krishna for jnana or with jnana. So it's like unalloyed, unmotivated love for Krishna. Okay. So those are the different categories. So we pray to Krishna for material things. A pure devotee does not pray to Krishna for anything except he glorifies Krishna. So that's what we do here. You know, when I first, I tell this thing all the time, when I first came to Hare Krishna temple, that's in Chicago, right? And big, huge temple. The hall is about 3-4 times size of this. There was a church also. And me and my wife, there's one more too, but the only Indians, the rest was all Americans. And so the aarti started, right? And the devotees started to chant Hare Krishna mantra. And here I'm, as an Indian, just wondering where they're going to start singing Om Jai Jagdish Hare, right? You know, the typical aarti. And I kept on waiting and waiting, and I'm just, you know, and it never happened. So, excuse me. So I told my wife afterwards, you know, that this temple will be a lot more fuller with Indian devotees, at least if they just sang the aarti, the Om Jai Jagdish Hare, Swami Jai Jagdish Hare. And, you know, who can I talk to about it? And my wife, she was more advanced than I am, so she kept on saying, just keep quiet, you know. And it took me a long time to figure out. The devotees were just glorifying, and the aarti that generally is sung in India throughout the, and throughout Indians throughout the world, is really a very materialistic aarti. We are asking Krishna, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. And but in terms of asking, once again, Prabhupada says that, you know, that if you have to ask, go to Krishna, don't go to anyone else. And he says one more thing. This is very true. Prabhupada says that, you know, if you have to ask Krishna, if you have a problem, just go in the front of Gornithai. And I read this someplace. I can dig it up. And so you just say 4 words. Sir, I have a problem. Just fold your hands. Sir, I have a problem. And Bruce says, then don't give him the solution. See, what we do is when we go to Krishna, we say, yeah, sir, I have a problem. I didn't study, so please, you know, get me good marks. As soon as we give the solution, then Krishna says, why? You already have a solution. Why do you want me? So if we have to ask Krishna, and in some ways, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, we can ask Krishna for protection, for sure, you know. Go ahead and ask, but do not give Krishna a solution. This is a very practical tip. We should, you know, at least I'm not advanced. I get very sometimes frustrated or sometimes, you know, nervous. So we have a right. It's like a child, you know, Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. That the child goes and cries in front of the mother. Generally, he does not give a solution. When he gives a solution, you know, many times he's waiting for disappointment. The mother says, no, you're not going to get it. Right? So it's one thing to go to the parents and say, I'm hungry. And the other thing is, I'm hungry, but can you give me some sweets? Alright? What will happen? What are the chances, I mean, of the wishes being fulfilled without the solution or with the solution? Without the solution. You're hungry. It's time for breakfast. You can have milk and bread, right? You're not going to get any sweets. Because the mother or father knows best. So Prabhupada says, if you have to ask, just state the problem. And then just keep quiet. We know this story of actually, you know, sort of related of Draupadi, right? She was in the assembly of Dhritarashtra and just about to be disrobed. And Krishna and Narad Muni are in Dwarka and they're watching this whole thing, right? And Dushasan has started to pull the sari and Sri's crying out, Govinda. And Govinda is watching and Narad Muni is watching and Narad Muni is saying, you know, why don't you do something about it? And Krishna says, I'm ready to do it, but I don't think she wants me. And what was the problem? ISKCON has two nice paintings. The one just before and just after. Draupadi, yeah. Yeah. And Krishna says, well, if she's thinking she can do it, what? She doesn't need me. She doesn't need me. No? And then I think Draupadi realizes. Krishna gives her the knowledge. And then she does the full surrender. Then instantly, Krishna comes to help. So we should try that. In Boise, I had a similar experience with someone else. This one student from India, he came and, he came from Bombay all the way to Boise. He selected Boise University because there's a nice temple. He used to go to Chapati Temple. And he came with his own money and the Boise State University department, engineering had promised him some grant and wasn't coming through and he literally ran out of money. So he came to me and said, Prabhuji, what should I do? And I said, well, I don't know, but I've heard Prabhupada said that you go in front of Gaurnithai and just say, sir, I have a problem. I said, don't give the solution. And so he went there. I saw him when the Shangar Arati came about. He was there. And I could look. And then he went away. And I got a phone call from him about 10 o'clock. So this happened like 7:30, right? 7:15. 10 o'clock, I get a phone call. I said, Sachin, yeah, what's the matter? I said, Prabhuji, you won't believe this. I said, as you told me, I prayed to Gaurnithai, and then I went back to my apartment to have some breakfast, and I was supposed to go to college. I said, right about 9 o'clock, there was an email on my computer, and the professor has sent a small email. If you want the money, come right away. There's some money, and I think it won't last too long. You come right away. So he went there, and he got it. So within a matter of hours. Now, I'm talking about solution. Now you can say, well, this is so obvious. He had one more person. They both came together to Boise, and the other one was from Andhra. This was from Bombay. And he had a similar problem. And he did the same thing. In that case, Krishna didn't give him the money. In Boise. But he heard about a month later, Krishna wanted to move him to Chicago. He got a sort of research assistant from Chicago. And there the difference was, Krishna knows best. I mean, he could have given him money in Boise also. But if you go through the whole story, in Chicago, he got in touch with Rompa Swami. And a year later, he got initiated by him. So Krishna not only solve his material problem, but he was also looking after what is good for him spiritually. So if we give the Krishna the flexibility, we just say, I have a problem, and stop there, then I think the solution is, sometimes we may not like that, because the other person was a little bit unhappy, or I'm leaving Boise, I'm going to this big city, and this and that. But things are not much better. So So that's what I'm saying. So now coming back to the subject, so Prabhupada says that when we go with these three reasons, we are initiated into the process of bhakti. Okay, we are in the category of being pious. Then the question comes in: how does, from that stage, does one become a devotee? Okay, we go to the temple, we ask Krishna, okay, how do we become a devotee? And there, Prabhupada writes that the pious devotee or the pious person, when he does those things, then Krishna is happy, and then they meet a pure devotee. Okay, and this is so very true. And he said he then showers his mercy, that we become pure devotee. I was thinking about, if you go back and we look into our own histories, everyone who has become a devotee, we've gone to the temple or with some issue, we have received a book, a prasadam, and we have received the friendship of a devotee. Just go back. I mean, in the process of being a devotee, those are the three things. They have to be there, otherwise the progress is very, very, you know. That's one thing. When I meet devotees, I ask them, how you become a devotee? And they, in the same research, you can ask them. You say, well, I got a book, I got some prasadam, and there was this one devotee who would not leave me, became my friend. I was in Antwerp, but four or so said, well, they met Vrindavan. You know, we know him. That's so true. It says that a friend is a devotee to everyone, right? I mean, a devotee is a friend to everyone. And so association with a pure devotee. So when we do some pious activity, Prabhupada writes, when we do some pious activity, then that leads us, because somebody sees that, he's coming to temple, you know, he's cleaning, he's doing this. And that's when the devotee, see, a pure devotee has the power. Right? It says in Bhagavatam, right? A pure devotee is so powerful, he has Krishna in his heart, that we go to pilgrimages to wash our sins off. And the question comes up, so that pilgrimage, the place of pilgrimage, must be filthy, because everyone is washing off their sins, right? It's like garbage. Everyone's throwing garbage in the garbage dump. But somebody has to clean the garbage dump also, right? And the pure devotee is the one who is purifying the place of pilgrimage. And so these pious folks, they go into the temple, they go into the place of pilgrimage. Radhesh is the place of pilgrimage. And here when they come in, they meet a pure devotee who showers mercy on them, who starts to take away their sins. And Bhujan Prabhu writes very nicely. So when we think about it, then we start to think how great Srila Prabhupada was. How munificent. Mahavadnaya. And Prabhupada, Bhujana Prabhupada writes that the pure devotee, under the direction of Lord Vishnu, he's traveling all over the world. He's not just sitting in one place. To to purify, to give mercy to the others. Pilgrimage is only in one place and people come to it. But a pure devotee, he's traveling. You know, on one hand, we have that thing from Chaitanya, you know, Brahman, Brahmite, Kaun, Bhagyavan, Jeev. And as we, ordinary folks, we are traveling all over the universe trying to find the devotional service. How do you find it? When we find the guru, the pure devotee. And he is also traveling throughout the world. So Prabhupada left India, left Vrindavan. He was so comfortable there. He had his own room. Radha Damodar, the samadhis were there, Rupa Goswami and everything else. And he left. And you can see, it was not even people who had done pious activities. He literally went to New York and literally pulled out hippies from the gutters. I mean, they were drunk, they were, you know, puking in the gutters. And let me read this. Where is this? Let's see. In fact, Prabhupada, that he, the pure devotee, makes us fortunate. We are so unfortunate. In fact, in one morning walk, the devotee was talking to Prabhupada, and he's saying, Prabhupada, we are so fortunate that we have you as a guru. And Prabhupada just didn't say yes. Prabhupada said, no. You were so unfortunate, and I made you fortunate. So all of us are, it took me a while to understand the English. The person was saying, I am fortunate because I met you. And Prabhupada said, no, you were never fortunate. That I made you fortunate. So that is the power of a pure devotee. And so this is the power of purity. This is the contribution of Srila Prabhupada. And now his disciples are doing that. That we are really, really, very fortunate that our fortunes were made after getting into drugs, after stealing and so many things that we have done. Cheating and so on and so forth. So that's the this is the quote from Bhujan Prabhu. How munificent then was Srila Prabhupada. He's so widely cast his purifying glance that it fell upon even the impious and those engaged in the most unfortunate works, and thus he created their punya karma. Thus he created their fortune. And therefore, we can never repay our debt to the Guru or to Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, we see this story all the time in the scriptures. The same thing happening. Dhruva Maharaj went, what was his mood when he went to the forest? He was arthi or arthi. He wanted to get some, he was in the economic category, he wanted a kingdom. And how he became fortunate? Narad Muni. See, he was going to jungle, and Narad Muni was traveling throughout the universes, and he sees this child. So in case of King Nabi, Krishna came personally. But many times, most times he sends his devotee. In our case, I always thought that, we always say, well, Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago. We are so fortunate. Maya says, well, if Lord Chaitanya came even now, we would know him. It was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada who made us know the mercy of Lord Chaitanya or who Lord Chaitanya is. There's still people in India who just think Lord Chaitanya was just a great personality. You see, I mean, even if God came, we would know that God is standing here. Somebody has to tell us. There are still, that's why we were talking that if you want to attract, say, for example, Indians to come to Hare Krishna temple, is besides Gaudiya deities, we should have Radha Krishna deities or Sita Hanuman, Ramakrishna Hanuman deities. Because hardly anyone knows Lord Chaitanya. Who knows Lord Chaitanya? The ones who have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada. So he has made our fortune. Because Lord Chaitanya, 500 years ago, it's not a big time. Everyone should know about it. So that's the, that's the power of a pure devotee. That he makes the pious. We think that just being pious is okay. A lot of people think that. We're not eating meat, we're not drinking, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. One last thing. We all think we're going back to Godhead, right? We all think that, right? So, Vyasky Prabhu, I heard him in Delhi last year. So he was doing lecture. He said, this is like day after Govardhan Puja in the Delhi temple, he was there. He said, I'm going back to Godhead. He said, but, I have a lot of material desires and I still am not there, but I know I'm going back to Godhead. And he said, why? And the answer he gave was a very classic answer. He said, I don't deserve it. I don't think I deserve it, say, even 100 lifetimes that I'll go back to Godhead. But because I'm following Srila Prabhupada, I'll go back to Godhead. Why? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that whatever my devotee promises, I will fulfill. And so Prabhupada has said that anyone who distributes even one of my books, I guarantee, I will personally come and take you to Godhead, right? So Krishna has to fulfill his promise regardless of our qualification. Now that doesn't mean that we start fooling around, okay? You still have to, Prabhupada also said, you've got to follow the four principles. But the reason we will go back to Godhead, it was such a convincing argument, I said, the reason we will go back to Godhead is as long as we will latch on to Srila Prabhupada's and our Guru's feet. Because Krishna is promising that. Krishna says that sometimes even I break my promise. But I never break a promise that my devotee makes. So that's why we are so fortunate that we are sitting here under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And our duty is also then to bring others in. And that's why we have Harinam, Sankirtan, the weekend festival, such nice opportunity. That's about the only way that we can start maybe repaying a little bit. One good deed deserves another good deed. I mean, we can never copy Srila Prabhupada, but we can maybe follow his footsteps and bring others in. And bring them in front of Srila Prabhupada so he can give them mercy. Any questions? Comments? I beg your mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.